Amen. So we had our own mini power outage here a couple of minutes before the service was ready to start. Shut down the computers, shut down the servers, shut down everything, and it hasn't quite caught up with itself yet. So that's got a glitch or two. That's what Adam was digging around in the lectern up here to find and repair, and I don't think I have, any advancement or of the slides behind me, so I'm requiring some assistance from the guys in the back. So thank you for being patient with that. We have a bigger issue in the storm itself rather than our own convenience of light and electronics. The safety of people out there, homes that could lose power and have some severe problems from that, but more importantly, that we might not be connected to the power of God himself found in his son, Jesus Christ. That's the real danger in life, is that we're too reliant on this kind of electric power and the power of our own will, the power of our own mind, and not reliant enough on the power and the awesomeness of our Heavenly Father. Good morning. Hope you're all right, and good morning to you at home who are joining with us. There's probably more than normal who stayed home today, and we pray for their safety, that things are well there. By the way, the last time that we had an outage in this room, our safety lights did not come on, so if we really have an outage and we're sitting in the dark, just stay calm. We can file out of here and go into the fellowship hall and decide what to do. But it is possible that not all of our emergency lights have been working right. So let's go to our Father in prayer and dive into his word. Heavenly Father, you are great. You are glorious. You are more awesome than we can know. And the fact that you reach out to us, the fact that you gave your son as a child born here, to live here, to serve here, to teach here, to show us here, and to die here, to be resurrected here. The gift is beyond, Father, and we pray that we can be humble before you, that we can be joyous before you, that we can be confident before you, that we can never, ever, ever quit. Help us, Father, to have the courage to never quit, no matter how confusing things get, no matter how painful things get, to realize that you are truth, that you are wisdom, that you are righteousness, that you are love, that you are relationships, and that everything good and right and proper is found in you, and we're connected to you by your Son. Help us, Father, to be the men and women in the church that you want us to be, all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Next slide, please. Yeah, thank you. So we've been talking about maturity. And today we're going to spend most of our time talking about prayer. Prayer. Next slide, please. Father, please help me change. If you want a resolution for 2026, I'll present you that one as a recommendation. For whatever resolution you lay out in front of yourself, even if you resolve not to have a resolution, somewhere along the way, it's going to be a change in who you are and how you act and what you do, whether it's a weight loss, a muscle gain, a financial a stability, a relationship repair, a work ethic, a serving ethic, whatever it is, it involves some kind of change. And the only change we want to have is the change that our Heavenly Father wants us to have. So let's be men and women who look to him to change, to be who he wants us to be. Next slide. Last time we talked about humility and the power of humility and the giving of Jesus. A child is born to us. Jesus came as an infant, but he was eternal before then. A child was born, but a son was given. two identities. The human child who came in all of the weakness and all of the humility and all the helplessness that every child comes in. But the Son, the eternal co-creator of the universe, the Son was given to us in that little child. An interesting detail. You can dig into it yourself and appreciate it. The power of humility. Next slide, please. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. What's cool about God is if you get to know him, your humility becomes more and more natural. Your humility becomes more and more normal because he is so powerful. He is so perfect. He is so holy. He is so awesome that we naturally would fall to the ground in front of him. So our humility becomes more and more natural, but it still remains one of the most toughest pathways in the human walk because we all have this kind of confidence about ourselves, even if our confidence is that we're not confident. And I said that on purpose. Sometimes it's, oh, well, I'm not anything. I'm nothing. And we lose the purpose that God has given to us in life. All of that is a kind of a self-focus rather than the natural, healthy humility that we should have before our Heavenly Father. And the last line of that is, let him lift you up. Next slide, please. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're pretty ignorant. Our own understanding is so limited by such a tiny amount of time. Such a tiny amount of time, whether it's 50 years or 60 years or 70 years or 90 years or 110 years, it's a tiny amount of time, and our experience is so limited compared to what our Heavenly Father is showing us in himself and in his Son and in his Word. We should, and I need to, live out this verse that I don't lean on my own understanding. Next slide, please. In everything, so today's lesson is the power of prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. The call we're trying to have for ourselves is that we are men and women devoted to prayer. That we are men and women who take everything to God in prayer. In everything. Who walk as people of thanksgiving. Who are active in prayer. Every day, let our day be punctuated with prayer throughout the whole thing. Let's keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. Help in his direction. That one word pointed toward your Heavenly Father is a prayer. Father, please help. Is a prayer. Let our minds and hearts be continuously woven in to connect with him, that he's listening to you and he loves you more than you love yourself. It's incredible. So we started, next slide please. We started in Mark. Randy just read to us out of Mark. And would you turn there please, Mark 11. And we saw that Jesus gave a powerful teaching of prayer in which he jumped right into saying, if you speak to Pioneer Peak and with faith say, let that be cast into the sound out here, it will be. Huh? We haven't lost too many mountain ranges to prayer. That doesn't sound or feel like a practical prayer. Why would he teach so specifically about having the power to cast a mountain into the sea? What is going on in this teaching? And why did Jesus dive so deeply into prayer in this context? Mark chapter 11, go back up to, I guess we can go to probably verse 7. Mark 11, verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus. So what happened before then is Jesus gave them instructions to go into town, find a colt, and bring that to him. They brought the colt to Jesus, and they put their coats on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their, I'm in verse 8 now of Mark 11, and many spread their coats on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut in the fields, and those who were in front and those who followed were shouting, "Blessed is he, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest." Praises to God, excitement for the coming of David's established throne, that the throne of David, the kingdom that David had established with such clarity, such enthusiasm, such peace for a while for the nation of Israel, is going to be reestablished. And Jesus comes riding in on this little donkey, being praised like this. The praise is absolutely correct. The environment is pretty awkward. He doesn't come riding in on some powerful war horse. He comes in, again, in the humility that we're supposed to learn from him, riding in on a donkey. Jesus entered Jerusalem, verse 11, and came to the temple, and looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry, and seeing in the distance, when he had left Bethany, he became hungry, and seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. And when they came to Jerusalem, he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a robber's den?" The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began speaking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went back and they walked past that fig tree, and the comment was made that Randy read to us. All you did was speak to it. Look at the condition of this tree. It's top to the roots. It's dead. And that's when Jesus said, "Yeah, you can say to a mountain, 'Be cast into the sea.'" Why is he saying that? What is the point? What had he found when he went into the temple of God? Did he find nourishment? Did he find faith? Did he find encouragement? No. He went to where he should have gotten spiritual feeding, spiritual encouragement, spiritual food, and he got nothing. The night before, he saw enough to know what was going on. Of course, Jesus knew what was going on anyway. this temple that was being abused, misused for the making of money. Oh man, if we can just, if somebody comes all the way up to the temple, you can get a little bit more when you sell them a dove up there than you can down on the street, because you've carried it all that much farther, because they have to leave and walk all the way back into town to have something fit for their sacrifice. And so they were getting wealthy, or at least making money off of people coming to the temple to worship God. He was furious. And so his response is, on the way home that night, I'm going to show them what happens to that which is an empty promise. This fig tree that looked nice and healthy and had zero figs on it, it's worthless. I mean, obviously, in the right season, at the right time, it would have figs. You can ask God why he did it in this sequence. But the point is, he went to something that's supposed to produce nourishment, and it produced none. He went to the temple that's supposed to produce spiritual strengthening, spiritual encouragement, spiritual praise and worship of God, focus and energy and goodness, and he found none. And they said, how did that tree wither? And he says, you could throw a mountain into the sea by the power of your prayer. What he's emphasizing is not the power of us, but the power of the one to whom we pray. God can take any mountain, any planet, anything, and move it in any direction he wills, if he wants to, by our request. We shouldn't ever be flippant with prayer. That's why he emphasizes, if you believe. You believe what you're praying? Do you believe that you're being listened to by the creator of the universe? Then why would you be surprised at a fig that withered up? This is a lesson to us about the powerful connection of our prayers. It's not a lesson about throwing mountains into the ocean. That's simply a figurative explanation of what it is we're connected with, how incredible the power that we have, and how important it is that we be men and women of faith. That our prayers aren't just words, but they're declarations, personal declarations, that I know my Heavenly Father is listening to me. He promises to hear you, and he promises to answer your prayers. God will always answer your prayers. Sometimes you'll get a quick yes. Sometimes you'll get an encouragement, and it's a slower yes. Sometimes it's a, you're not ready for that now. It'll come someday. And sometimes it's, no, that's not what you need. That's not what you need. But you always get an answer. So let us be men and women who, like Jesus challenges us, prays with faith and realizes the magnitude, the incredible awesomeness, and the importance of our prayers, but the awesomeness of who it is that is connected to our prayers. Interesting. Look what he says we're down in verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Whether you stand praying, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. What does it have to do with faith and prayer? So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. That's a convoluted, in the middle of him talking about the power of us casting mountains into the ocean, he gets real intimate and personal with us and says, you know what? You know what you really might need clearing up in your mind? It's not the placement of the mountains around you. It's the issues of the mountains within you. Do you have boundaries and barriers that you're not willing to overcome? That we are to be men and women who are eager to forgive, who realize our own vulnerability, who realize our own weakness before God, that we cannot be people who judge and separate ourselves. Forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who's in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Right after this, when they come to Jerusalem in verse 27, they come again. And as he was walking to the temple, the priests, chiefs, and the scribes came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" And Jesus said to them, "I ask you one question, and you answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from earth? Answer me." And you know how it went out. They're reasoning among themselves, and they say, "Well, if we say this, they'll say, how come you didn't listen to John? And if you say this, then we're violating John's lesson, and the people really like listening to John." And so they end up saying, "We don't know," in verse 33. And Jesus said, "Well, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do this." Jesus is not talking about mountains here. He's talking about mountains of problems in people's lives. Those are the mountains that we have the connection to God to move. The mountains in our own lives, our own resistance, our own pride, our own self-will. The mountains of a lack of faith, people around us who don't believe, that's a mountain that needs moved. So similar to what Jesus' challenges there are what we have out of 1 Thessalonians. Next slide, I think there you go, thank you. I'll just make a loud click up here and you can advance the slides. You can quote these verses, right? 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, verse 16. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances for this. How do you know what God's will is for you? It's right here, part of it anyway. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In the middle of that, of course, is this phrase about the importance and power of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Not going to be able to finish the lesson. Having too much fun with it. Does God always answer our prayers? Yes. No. Does he always hear our prayers? Yes. Who reigns? Who's in charge? Our Heavenly Father is. Therefore, rejoice. Always. Just rejoice. God reigns. Christ is victorious. And in him, we have nothing but rejoicing to do. Doesn't matter if we're arrested and thrown in prison. Doesn't matter if our house is blown down while we're sitting here together today. We stand victorious. This life is so temporary. Our God is so awesome. Rejoice always. Keep praying. And then the third part, all of this weaves into the middle, to the pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in every circumstance. I don't know how many times a day you say thank you, Father, but I'd like to double it or multiply it times 10. Thank you, Father. 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 Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That we would be a people fired up by prayer, thrilled by prayer, motivated by prayer. Next slide, please. James 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously. Our God's a generous God. You ask in his will, something like wisdom, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. Without doubting. We have some incredible promises given to us in God. Next slide, please. With God, all things are possible. The reference there is of the of Mary hearing that she's going to be a mom. She's a virgin, but yet she's going to have a baby. And she says, I don't understand. How is this possible? And the angel answered, verse 35, and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she will, who is barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Next slide, please. Nothing will be impossible with God. It's a proclamation given to Mary and the encouragement that she had. In Matthew 19, this is Jesus' discussion with the rich young ruler who walks away from him sad because he's got more money than he can give up. Give your money up. I can't. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples heard, and they were astonished and said, who then can be saved? Really? Is it that tough, Jesus? And he says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Our prayers should be prayers of faith. Our prayers should be prayers of confidence. Our prayers are to be interconnected with us, to our Heavenly Father, because with him, all things are possible. Now, that doesn't mean he will answer all of our prayers, yes, but it means any right thing he can do. Any good thing he will do if he needs to. Therefore we say thank you. We are connected to a Heavenly Father. If he does not answer our prayers the way we want, if World War III starts next month and Alaska ends up being a place that other folks use for target practice, we can rejoice in our Heavenly Father and the victory of Jesus and be thankful and be thankful and be thankful. Because whether we live or die, we live in victory. With God, all things are possible. We have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Next slide, please. We read this last time. God, save me by your name. This is David crying out. Vindicate me by your might, O God. Hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Next slide, please. Even though some are trying to kill us or attack us or ruin us, or life gets hard or diseases attack, God is my helper. The Lord is the one who upholds my life, and it will end when he decides it will end. And in that sense, I'm victorious infinitely. Infinitely. Amen? We stand victorious. And therefore, we walk with confidence. I want to get into Acts chapter 12, but that's going to take too long. So I knew this lesson was going to be a little bit tough to fit in here. We'll do that next time. We will go on to God taking a literal victory in a man's life. And we will see the contrast between one aspect in which we think that was there was a failure, and one aspect in which we would naturally vote that, well, that's a victory, and see that, in fact, both are victories in Christ. Both are victories with our Heavenly Father. Next slide, please. For we are connected to the source of all power. We are connected to the source of all love. We are connected to the one perfect purpose in the universe, our Father. By the perfection of the life of Jesus Christ, we have, and we you can't exaggerate how good and wonderful the gifts we've been given to us in Christ. That we walk with that kind of confidence, with that kind of power. We'll go next week into Acts 12, or not what next week, next time I speak into Acts 12, and see how it is that God brings a victory, whether we immediately measure it that way or not. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, we invite you today to come forward and let us know. We would love to study with you. If you have any other need that we can help you with, whether encouragement or something else of a physical or spiritual nature, let us know about that too. Come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.